USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
A group of Democrats and Republicans are working in a conference committee to try to keep the government running past February 15th, or we'd face another partial government shutdown. Lawmakers are also working on an immigration agreement. Now, if that deal cannot be reached by Friday, Republican Congressman Lee Zeldin of New York tells Fox News, folks are prepared to work through the weekend.
What I'm hearing from members of that conference committee, Republicans, Democrats, House, Senate, that on a, whether it's the member-to-member level, the staff level, they're going to be working through the weekend to try to have a deal done. If it's not done before the weekend, to have it done after the weekend to avoid a shutdown.
Wells Fargo customers nationwide were unable to use their debit cards or online mobile banking Thursday after the company said it experienced system issues that had resulted in outages. It's unclear how many folks were affected, but Wells Fargo is the fourth largest bank in America. This is USA Radio News.
Cars that sound like this. Trust Pennzoil Synthetics to protect their engines in extreme conditions. Top racing teams know that Pennzoil Synthetics give them the performance to help them succeed. And your car's engine deserves the same. Because your daily commute is no less important. Get complete protection for top engine performance, just like the pros. Visit Pennzoil.com/rebate to save on Pennzoil Synthetics. Terms apply.
Let's think about customization presented by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Liberty Mutual customizes your auto insurance so you only pay for what you need. So why aren't more things in life customizable? Like, why do I have to pay a full gym membership when I don't even use all the equipment? Like the rowing machine. I don't know about you, but I'm not doing a ton of manual lake travel these days.
Go to libertymutual.com for a customized quote and you could save.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates, Equal Housing Insurer.
The father of a man accused of holding a 13-year-old Wisconsin girl captive for nearly 3 months after killing her parents is asking people to pray for the girl's healing. Patrick Patterson spoke for the first time to ABC's Good Morning America.
I would like to humbly ask people to pray for a complete healing of Jamie's heart, mind, and soul. Her hearts are broken for their family. I'm very sorry for everything that has happened.
Jake Patterson appeared in a Wisconsin court on Wednesday to waive his right for a preliminary trial. He will be in court again next month. Parts of the Midwest are expected to receive more snow as a slow-moving Arctic front will make its way through. South Dakota through Minnesota to Michigan's Upper Peninsula could all see another 6 inches of snow. Meanwhile, western Michigan and Wisconsin are dealing with ice. In Detroit, 350 schools were closed due to that ice storm. This is USA Radio News.
Cars that sound like this. Trust Pennzoil Synthetics to protect their engines in extreme conditions. Top racing teams know that Pennzoil Synthetics give them the performance to help them succeed. And your car's engine deserves the same. Because your daily commute is no less important. Get complete protection for top engine performance just like the pros. Visit Pennzoil.com/rebate to save on Pennzoil Synthetics. Terms apply.
A hearing on Thursday is looking into the Trump administration's migrant family separation policy at the border. The administration's zero-tolerance policy was announced by the Department of Justice in April of 2018, and thousands of children were separated from their parents or legal guardians who entered the U.S. illegally because adults were referred to DHS for prosecution. Kentucky Republican Congressman Brett Guthrie shares his thoughts on the program.
I support strong enforcement of our nation's borders, but I do not support separating children from their parents.
A long-running ABC sitcom has been renewed for its 11th and final season. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes reports.
During its run, Modern Family has been among the most nominated comedy series, winning a total of 22 Emmys, including 5 straight years for Outstanding Comedy Series between 2010 and 2014.
Which only teaches her that every time she cries, her daddy will come in and cuddle her and put on her favorite. What are we watching?
Brian De Palma's controversial masterpiece, Scarface.
For the baby?
She happens to like it. I don't know if it's the colors or the sounds. Oh, here comes the nightclub massacre. She loves it.
Modern Family concluding 1 year after another long-running TV sitcom is coming to an end as The Big Bang Theory is wrapping up after 12 seasons on CBS in May.
For more, you can always find us online at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
From St. George News Radio, here's what's trending today on stgeorgenews.com. The ATF has offered a reward for information leading to the arrest of individuals who may have started the January 26 fire at the St. George LDS East Stake Center. During a State of the City address, St. George Mayor John Pike announced the city will likely have electric scooters on the streets by the end of the month. A man was arrested Monday afternoon after a day of allegedly trespassing and burglarizing homes and cars, leaving skunk spray behind so officers would find him. A passenger was taken to the hospital Wednesday as a result of a T-bone crash that was triggered by the driver running a red light at the intersection of Bluff and Main Streets. And more than 1,100 pounds of marijuana, nearly $7,850 in cash, was seized by the ADOT Tuesday after a fake delivery van was stopped on I-15 in northwestern Arizona and processed at the St. George Port of Entry. From the St. George News Radio Weather Center, sunny and 43 today, clear and 25 tonight, sunny and 50 tomorrow. For St. George News Radio, I'm Carl Lamar.
Check your political correctness at the door. It's time for the Kate Daly Show.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
I'm so excited. Don Brown, welcome.
Kate, thanks for having me today, and I'm happy to be with you.
Absolutely. I'm happy that you're visiting our show. I really am, because, wow, what a story you have. So this is going to be amazing to go over. Let me introduce you, I want to give some details about you. Former United States Navy JAG officer stationed at the Pentagon and former special assistant United States attorney, is the author of 10 military and legal novels, including the nationally best-selling novels Treason and Malacca, is that how you say it? Malacca Conspiracy. A graduate of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, the Campbell University School of Law, holding a certificate of international law from the U.S. Naval War College, Don served as the administrative law attorney at the Pentagon on the staff of the Navy Judge Advocate General, where he drafted legal memoranda for the Secretary of the Navy and drafted legal opinion papers for the Secretary, rising to the rank of Lieutenant Commander of the Navy JAG Corps, in addition to having authored the popular Navy Justice series and Pacific Rim series. Thank you so much for joining us.
Kate, it's my honor. Thank you for having me and for bringing attention today to this national tragedy that has pretty much been covered up. That is a shoot down of Extortion 17. I'm so grateful that you and others like you who are carrying the flame for these guys who will have lost their lives 4 years ago coming up on August the 6th. So thank
absolutely.
You so much.
Absolutely. And it's a tragedy. It is a tragedy. And I cannot wait to talk about this, because you're right. It was underreported. It hasn't, not even underreported, just a cover up to me. But Extortion 17 was the call sign of a Chinook helicopter carrying 17 Navy SEALs who were part of a SEAL Team 6, who allegedly took out Osama bin Laden, along with a few Army Rangers, National Guard pilots, and at least seven unknown Afghan soldiers. Tell us what happened August 6, 2011.
Kate, one of the greatest tragedy and the greatest loss of American life in the Afghan war happened, and it was inexcusable, and it did not have to happen, and it has been covered up. But let me sort of share what happened with your viewers, or with your listeners in this case.
Okay.
Call sign Extortion 17 is the call sign for an old United States Army National Guard helicopter, a Chinook. About 2:20 a.m. on August the 6th, and this sort of to put this in perspective historically, this was 97 days after U.S. Navy SEALs had taken out Osama bin Laden in Pakistan. It was 13 months before the attack on our consulate in Benghazi. That gives you an idea when this happened. At 2:22 a.m., U.S. Navy SEALs were ordered on board this chopper. They are from SEAL Team 6, the very same group that had taken out Osama bin Laden 90-some days earlier. Along with those Navy SEALs, there is the five-member Army National Guard flight crew, there are three United States Air Force special operators, and of course there are eight, believe it or not, unidentified Afghans who are on board, who rushed onto this chopper. This is an old chopper. It is a troop transport chopper. It's designed to carry troops and equipment. This old chopper, the Chinook, is basically defenseless. It is ordered on a mission that should have taken 10 minutes from wheels up to wheels down. Flying along with it is another Chinook, which strangely, Kate, is empty. Both of these Chinooks, Extortion 17, the one we're talking about this afternoon with the SEALs on board, and Extortion 16 had flown a flight about 3 hours earlier that night in this war on terror, dropping off a group of U.S. Army Rangers in an area not far from where they were taking the SEALs. That flight had gone well, and that flight had Rangers on both choppers. But for whatever reason, Extortion 17 is jammed like sardines with SEALs while its sister chopper is basically empty except the flight crew. They take off on what should have been a 10-minute flight. As the flight enters into this hot, contested valley called the Tangi Valley, full of Taliban, and it is as it is accompanied, they are accompanied by United States aircraft, which are two Apache helicopters and one AC-130, which are highly armed offensive helicopters. Mm-hmm. Something went wrong. We lost communication with the chopper. The chopper began behaving erratically. For whatever reason, it could not seem to find the landing zone. In the meantime, this AC-130 aircraft, which is a fixed-wing United States Air Force aircraft, is circling overhead, circling over the landing zone, looking down onto the landing zone to make sure that the area is clear. It sees, this aircraft sees Taliban moving toward the landing zone, Kate. It requests permission from flight control to take the Taliban out, and it had the firepower to do it. We had three aircraft which could have cleared that landing zone out and softened the beachhead. But, Kate, permission was denied to clear that landing zone, inexplicably denied, and as the chopper, Extortion 17, got closer to that landing zone, about 100 to 150 feet off the ground, these Taliban operatives moved into the landing zone with RPG, rocket-propelled grenade weapons, fired three RPG weapons. One of them struck the back blade of Extortion 17. The chopper fell from 100 to 150 feet, caught fire, and everyone died. We lost 30 Americans. It was the greatest loss of American life in the Afghan War and the largest loss in the history of the United States Navy SEALs.
Wow. Wow. And were some of the passengers, some of those Americans, were they literally in the group that got bin Laden?
Well, we don't have any evidence to suggest any type of substantial overlap. I've heard from people who have reached out to me saying there was an overlap, but my research has not revealed that any of the guys who lost their lives in Extortion 17 were involved in the operation known as Neptune Spear. However, the Taliban would have had no way of knowing that. And, the Taliban, I'm very certain, knew this flight pattern. They were waiting on it, and they were there to shoot down a U.S. Military chopper specifically to retaliate for the taking out of bin Laden. So they didn't know whether or not these guys are the same or not, but they did have a pretty good idea that this chopper was Navy SEALs, I believe.
Wow. So with the pilot, was the pilot somebody that we know who was piloting that aircraft? Was it somebody brought in?
Yes, we know. Remember, this chopper was piloted by an Army National Guard crew.
Mm-hmm.
And let me just say, I have no reason to believe that the Army National Guard crew did anything wrong.
Right.
They were patriots. They were professionals. They were not special operations aviators out of the what we call night stalkers out of the 160th Special Operations Aviation Regiment at Fort Campbell, Kentucky. So they were not trained to do special operations missions. They were asked to fly a mission they should not have been asked to fly. But the pilots, to answer your question, there was a younger pilot, CW2 Chief Warrant Officer 2, Brian Nichols, out of the Omaha region, and who was the pilot in charge. Excuse me, he was out of Kansas City. Pilot in charge of the aircraft, a younger pilot. It was his first combat deployment. Brian had been in the Army before, and he was deployed in Kosovo and Iraq. Then he went back to flight school. So he was a younger pilot. He had good marks, but not a lot of experience. However, flying along with Brian was CW4 David Carter out of the Denver area. David Carter was one of the Army's best pilots. He was a over a 20-year veteran flying the Chinook. He was an instructor and knew what it was doing. There's no reason this chopper, Extortion 17, should have gotten lost in the air, as it appeared to have gotten lost in the air. It was almost 10 minutes overdue. Remember, this is a flight that should have lasted 10 minutes. It was still hanging in the air at close to the 19-minute mark, seemingly unable to find the landing zone when it was shot out of the air. I'm concerned that something happened on board that chopper, ladies.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's go a little bit backwards. When you first heard about this, did it spark your interest right away? Was sort of a, wait a second, protocols were broken, or why did you wait for the report, and what did the report tell you? Because I think the report is what brought up most of your suspicion, correct?
That's true. A little bit of a background. Mm-hmm. Several of the family members of Extortion 17 family members who lost their sons held a press conference in Washington, D.C. at the National Press Club in the summer of 2013, asking for answers. Colonel Alan West was present, and some other senior military officers, Admiral H. Lyons, who had been SINCPAC or Commander-in-Chief Pacific under President Reagan, General Paul Vallee, United States Air Force General, had come to show his support, and a couple of other members of the Congress. And there were questions that were being asked, and a lot of questions, you know, surrounded, you know, mm-hmm. why were these guys put on an old Army National Guard chopper? But the thing, and I think that's a bit of a red herring, to be honest with you, and I think that red herring was created by the military in the report itself. But mm-hmm. but as a result of that press conference, I was very moved by the pain that these family members were suffering, and I reached out to one of the family members, Billy and Karen Vaughn. Karen Vaughn is a mother of fallen Navy SEAL Aaron Vaughn, and we began to talk. And in August of 2011, I drove to Atlanta, Georgia. I live in Charlotte, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. The Vaughns had been visiting family in Tennessee. They live in Florida. They were on their way back to Florida. We met in Atlanta at a Shoney's and talked for almost 3 hours.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Interestingly, they had a disc that had been declassified, a little flash drive that had been declassified and handed to family members, which was the official military report. And they gave it to me, and I started to analyze it. But, of course, it's like a scrambled puzzle. And, you know, I'm a lawyer, and you've probably heard the phrase legalese. You can't read – most people can't read mm-hmm. contracts because many of them, frankly, are poorly drafted.
Mm-hmm.
Well, an analogy to that is militaryese. You know, in the military, we have all types of acronyms. And so frankly, the report needed a fresh set of eyes on it from someone who could sort of read it, and I began to go through it, and then one question arose after another. So my book, Call Sign Extortion 17, which is released at the very end of May this year, is largely an analysis of this cult report, the official military report. The book does not stop there. We go above and beyond simply what's in the report itself to try to piece together what happened and why. But that is the heart of the book, the analysis of that military report.
You've had great great remarks about the book, great ratings about it.
The book is Call Sign Extortion mm-hmm. 17,
okay.
The Shoot Down of SEAL Team 6, and should be still in most Barnes & Noble around the country. And, of course,
right.
You can go to my website at donbrownbooks.com, or you can go to Amazon. It's available all over the place.
Because we're going to just hit the highlights of this, but I'll tell you that the 7 unidentified Afghan commandos, did they board the helicopter just before it took off? And I can't imagine that wouldn't have raised so many questions for the gentleman on board.
Right. By all accounts, they did board the aircraft. And let me just say that as I went through this report, approximately 1,250 pages, this report, and I'm going to come directly back to the issue of these Afghans, but this report had been a top secret report. It was a result of a 5-week investigation that began the day after the shoot down, August the 7th, 2011, and concluded September the 13th, 2011.
All right, Tango team, Quinn and I have been working on some new jingles for our 4 Southern Utah locations.
And here's what we have so far.
Nobody beats Tango. Nobody.
This is Quinn Allgood from Tango, your car wash for the people.
Tango Express Car Wash. Tango Car Wash.
A car wash for everyone. Tango.
When you hear the splash, think of Tango Car Wash.
I feel like those are already taken. But how about this?
Tango Express Car Wash with four locations and one coming soon near Costco.
My fellow Americans, this is Abe Lincoln inviting you to save during the President's Day sale at the Ashley Home Store.
For a limited time, save up to 50% or get 5 years special financing.
Yes,
save up to 50% or 5 years special financing. Get this stunning panel bed for just $199, this five-piece dining room set for $279, or the super comfy sofa for just $499. Get here now for doorbusters like accent chairs starting at $79 or accent tables starting at $99.
Presidential savings indeed.
Come into the Ashley Sleep Center inside the locally owned Ashley Home Store and get 1 year, no interest, no minimum purchase, and clean power set starting at $499. Don't miss out. The President's Day sale happening right now at the Ashley Home Store. East Red Cliffs Drive in between the DI and the Pineview Stadium 10. All financing OAC. See store for details.
You're gonna love this Ashley Furniture Home Store.
It's the Love Your Floor sale going on now at Ogden's Flooring and Design with prices you'll love on carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl tile, laminate, and more. Plus, get a free premium pad upgrade and lifetime labor warranty on carpet and 0% interest for 12 months OAC.
This is Jill at Ogden's Flooring and Design. Come experience our showroom complete with furniture, window coverings, and more. Everything from your floor to ceiling. We've got you covered. We're near Costco on 850 North. See you soon.
Ogden's Flooring and Design.
Have you heard of CBD? Well, I'll tell you this. It's not what you think. It's better. Hi, I'm Dave Shank with BringMeCBD.com. Let me be clear. I'm not involved with marijuana. In fact, at BringMeCBD.com, we're a bunch of Utah guys who have been in the supplement industry for over 20 years. But when we saw firsthand what CBD did for people's health, we went straight out to Colorado and set up a state-of-the-art CBD extraction facility where we make the finest CBD in America. CBD gets confusing because it's the compound that puts the medical in medical marijuana that everyone wants. But CBD also comes from other plants besides marijuana. At BringMeCBD.com, all of the CBD we manufacture comes from marijuana's sister plant known as hemp. Now that CBD is legal in Utah, the only problem is how expensive it is. At BringMeCBD.com, we think everyone should be able to afford CBD. And when you buy from us, there are no middlemen. We are the manufacturer saving you money. Our CBD ships out fast and usually arrives at your door within a day or two. Go to BringMeCBD.com and get yours today.
Hi, this is Kate Daly, and I love my sponsors. Copiers for Sale offers Southern Utah the best quality and pricing on printers, copiers, and plotters. They sell, lease, and service any equipment your business or home office needs. CopiersForSale.com, a local company and division of Steamroller Copies, is always asking, what do you want to print today? And St. George Massage, stgeorgemassage.com to schedule today. No messy memberships, just an incredible massage. You deserve it, and it makes a great gift for someone you love.
You've been waiting, and now it's here. The newest Little Caesars is now open across the street from Desert Hills High School. Best of all, you can order on the new Little Caesars app. Walk in, skip the line, and get your pizza in seconds out of the new Little Caesars pizza portal. And you're out the door. Or stay in your car and try their pickup window. Stop in and check out the newest Little Caesars today and get the best pizza value in America. The newest Little Caesars, now open across the street from Desert Hills High School. The easiest way to pizza just got easier.
NASCAR crashes Las Vegas.
Big damage on Kurt Busch's car.
For Pennzoil 400 weekend.
Had a lot of smoke in the cockpit.
It's high stakes and insane speed at America's Racing Showplace.
He'll pinch Joey Logano to the middle group.
Pennzoil 400 weekend tickets are going fast at LVMS.com or call 800-644-4444.
Cash in big and leave Las Vegas a winner.
NASCAR's fastest weekend at Las Vegas Motor Speedway.
Save up to $600 during the Dream Big, Save Big President's Day sales event. Hi, it's Justin from the Mattress Store. Save big, up to $600 on the latest from Tempur-Pedic, Sealy, and Stearns & Foster. No credit, no problem with our no credit needed financing options. The Dream Big, Save Big President's Day sale is going on now. Come in today, sleep well tonight, Bluff by Ace Hardware, Washington next to Best Buy, Bloomington by the Walmart, and downtown Cedar City next to Lynn's. Nobody beats the Mattress Store. Nobody.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Talking with Don Brown, Extortion 17 is the book. Let's
pick up where we left off, Don.
The official military report concluded that there was nothing wrong. It whitewashed everything. It created an issue about the use of the National Guard chopper. I really think that is a red herring issue to get people talking about the wrong issues. But a month after the report was closed, in October of 2011, bear in mind this chopper went down August 6th, the military brought family members into Little Creek, Virginia, which is where SEAL Team 6 is headquartered, and began to brief family members. But here's what's interesting, ladies. Someone in the U.S. military, and I suspect senior enlisted and mid-level officers, had declassified over 1,200 pages of an investigation that had been deemed as top secret only a month before and handed it to certain of these family members. And when the military found out that disc got out, they later requested it back and then changed their mind about requesting it back, I guess to not call so much attention to it.
Wow.
But so I, circling back to your question about the Afghans, as I was going through this report, one of the things that was very surprising to me is that, and most Americans aren't aware of this, is we've been flying since about 2009. We've been flying these special operators, Rangers and SEALs, with Afghan commandos on board the chopper with our special operations forces, which to me sounded very, very odd because, number one, the public doesn't know about it. Mm-hmm. Number two, we've had an issue with green-on-blue violence whereby Afghans are shooting Americans in the back. Just last year, we lost a two-star U.S. Army general shot in the back by an Afghan security guard. So that seemed odd to me. But I want you to know that this whole issue of the seven Afghans board, so there were supposed to be Afghans on board a chopper, just not the ones that boarded it. And this whole issue of the swap out was totally covered up, totally kept out of the final military report, and was not discovered except for by happen chance about a year and 4 months after the shoot down, when in Florida, the friends that I met, Billy and Karen Vaughn, living in Florida, Billy finally started to go through this disc. It's very difficult for family members to go through and look at evidence, hard evidence, which deals with their son's death. But Billy started to do that, and he found a testimonial exchange. So we had investigators go in, put other pilots and put folks under oath who were on the scene, ask them what happened. And there was a testimonial exchange between one of the investigating officers on one side of the table asking questions of two witnesses. One of these witnesses was the commander of the Joint Special Operations Task Force. The other witness sitting with him was his subordinate, a J-3 officer. That's a military acronym meaning operations officer. And so the question from the deputy commander, the deputy investigating officer, was, tell us about the flight manifest. Do we have everyone accounted for? That's a question. So the junior guy speaks up. He says, well, we know the names of all the Americans, but we don't know the names of the Afghans on board. And I can't really say why, but if you want me to, I can give you my opinion. But, and as this junior officer began to give his opinion, his boss cut him off. And the boss said, but the bottom line is we had the correct number of folks accounted for. So he was cut off.
Wow.
Well, Billy Vaughn saw this exchange, and he had asked Admiral Billy McCraven, who at this time was CENTCOM at MacDill Air Base in Tampa, to come out and brief him. So Admiral McCraven came out to the Vaughn's home, along with a senior enlisted advisor, a sergeant major, Delta Force type in the Army, senior enlisted, probably been in 30 years. And Mr. Vaughn asked the Admiral, he said, Admiral, I saw, you know, deep in this report that apparently there were seven Afghans on board his chopper, and we don't know who they are. But then Billy said, he said, but I guess it must not have been a very big deal because nothing else was said. That's what Billy said to the Admiral.
Wow.
Well, the Admiral sat there, looked at him, and did not respond. And a couple of minutes later, the senior enlisted advisor, the sergeant major, speaks up and says, actually, Mr. Vaughn, that was a very big deal that should never have happened. So it was the sergeant major who alerted us that there had been a major security breach.
Right.
It was totally washed out of the report. That's how it came about. We don't know who they are, but there was a swap out at the last second, and it's very disconcerting when you look at the fact that the chopper seemed to have gotten lost in the sky and was still hanging in the sky almost 10 minutes late when it was blown out of the air.
Wow.
Don, I have a question for you. I think the average person, when they hear an aircraft has gone down, they assume, I mean, I assume, and I think I'm pretty average person, that there's a black box and that you'll get all the evidence you need about what really happened from the black box. Is there one on this Chinook?
There have been shifting stories from the military about this. First off, we know from the military investigation, and again, the issue of the disappearing black box, there is an issue here about the mysterious disappearing black box. That whole issue was washed out of the final report finishing September the 13th of 2011. But when we begin to dig into the testimony, we see, first off, this chopper went down at 2:39 a.m. local time. By 4:15 local time, we had flown in a squadron of United States Army Pathfinders, 20 to be precise, who were told to go to the black scene, to the crash scene, and were ordered to go find the black box. And ladies, they spent 2 days looking for the black box. They said they could not find the black box. Now, we know now, the report covered this up, that there were actually other units on the ground, which report covered up before the Pathfinders ever got there. But the Pathfinders testified they spent 2 days looking for it, and this was the first time they had never found a black box, okay? Now, remember I said a moment ago also that there was a briefing at Little Creek, Virginia in October of 2011 when the military brought family members in. And, Mary, that question was the question that was asked, the very same question was asked of the General Jeffrey Colt, who was the principal investigating officer. General, did this chopper have a black box? And the answer the families were given on that occasion was, the black box could not be recovered. We think it was washed away in a flood.
What?
So, yeah, that's right.
So was there a flood? I mean...
What happened is... And I go over in the book, but there are actually photographs, of course, of the crashing in this military port. And there was a small, they call it a wadi. It's almost like a creek. It's what they call a creek in Afghanistan. Yeah. And called the Tangi River. And it was, if you see an actual photograph, it looks like a mud stream that is maybe 15, 20 feet across. And if you wade into it, maybe it's up to your knees. But there had been a flash flood the night after the shoot down. That's true. There had been a flash flood. But the whole, which caused the wadi to swell some. But the whole notion, first of all, that you would lose a black box because of a flooding in a mountain zone is ridiculous. We pulled black boxes out of thousands of feet of water, and of course we followed the shoot down or the loss of this Malaysian airliner and others. They do have these low frequency emissions that ping from them, so that explanation given by the military simply did not ring true. But they never backed off of that quote it washed away in a flood version until February of 2014, when finally there was a nominal, what I call, dog and pony show of a congressional investigation chaired by local congressman there, Jason Chaffetz from Utah, who was sitting on the National Security Subcommittee of the House Oversight Committee, and during that hour and a half, testimonial exchange, there was a civilian bureaucrat from the Pentagon named Gary Reed, who testified that the chopper never had a black box to begin with. He said it was an old type of chopper that never had a black box. So the military has gone from, A, sending a Pathfinder team in looking for it for 2 days and not being able to find it, to B, suggesting that it was washed away in a flood. And then in 2014, in February of 2014, with this chopper going down August of 2011, now it's saying for the first time it never had a black box to begin with. So this simply raises one question after another question after another question. Now, I have spoken to senior military pilots who don't buy Mr. Reed's claim that there was never a black box to begin with. Well, I do believe it was a black box. Why would you send? But the thing is that not one single member of the Congress, not one in that committee, including Congressman Chaffetz, who I think generally is a good guy, and I don't know why, but not one member of the Congress said, well, Mr. Reed, if there was no black box, then why did we send a Pathfinder team to look for one for 2 days? Nor did anybody ask him, well, Mr. Reed, if there was no black box, why did the military say it was washed away by flood? Nobody asked him or pinned him down or asked him why there was such a change. I do believe it was a black box. That's my belief based upon the weight of the evidence, and I think the black box would give us probably a very definitive explanation
and
of
the,
what happened.
And the congressional subcommittee never asked questions of the U.S. Army Pathfinders sent to go look for it.
There was not a single officer or enlisted man or a member of the United States military who had been in Afghanistan on the night of the shootdown who testified. In fact, the testimony consisted from the military of five individuals, two civilians, three officers. One civilian was Mr. Reed, who is a deputy secretary of defense for XYZ, blah, 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 low intensity and things. He's got a long title. You know how it is. Mm-hmm. So he was the principal spokesperson for the military. Then there was a lady there who was the principal civilian in charge of Pentagon mortuary affairs for the Department of Defense. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then the three officers from the Army, Navy, and Air Force. We had two colonels and a commander who were, and each of these officers were in charge of each respective services mortuary affairs division. So to summarize, the military brought forward one bureaucrat and four funeral experts to testify on this hearing about Extortion 17. So there was no substantive testimony at all. Mr. Reed was giving the official military position, which, you know, I don't think we can trust, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. But no one knew anything, not a single pathfinder. There were other helicopters in the sky, remember? There were two helicopters along with Extortion 17, these Apaches, mm-hmm. who could find the landing zone. The AC-130 circling overhead, who had requested permission to take these Taliban out over and over again. Nobody was called off the AC-130 to testify in Washington. In matter of fact, that we know the pilot of the AC-130 in sworn testimony and the navigator got it onto the record that they had requested permission to take out these Taliban and were denied. But not a single question from a member of the Congress as to why we did not allow those AC-130 to fire on the landing zone, and not a single question about these suicidal rules of engagement that are getting our military killed. And then we saw it at Extortion 17, we saw it really, a variation of it in Chattanooga just a week or so ago. Mm-hmm. We saw it really in Benghazi with the stand-down order. The rules of engagement are foolish and they're suicidal. They need to be examined. Mm-hmm. And this case, by the way, which is the largest loss of life and the one that's been buried the most from the public, should stand as a centerpiece of an examination, of a national examination of the rules of engagement.
Right.
And
because those rules of engagement, if they were able to be covered by the cover fire, right, if that was laid down before the helicopter would have gotten to the ground, they would be alive today. You know what's fascinating to me, though, is the fact that black boxes survive going into the ocean, yet it's uncoverable because of a stream. I mean, this is getting, it's such a ridiculous story. It's ridiculous. Oh.
If you ever get a chance to chat with either Billy or Karen Vaughn, they're good friends of mine, and mm-hmm. they can tell you it's maddening. It's absolutely maddening. And to wait. Let me see, almost 3 years before you change the story again, there was no black box to begin with. It just totally destroys, undermines any semblance of credibility from the military.
And wouldn't they be alive today if they could have laid down cover fire?
Well, I believe that is the case. I do. I think clearly.
Hi, I'm Craig Hansen. I'm here to talk to you about Novatio Orthopedics and Dr. Michael Manning. 6 weeks ago, I had a procedure done, and it has changed my life. Because of this procedure, I am doing things that I haven't done for years. Not only has he helped me with my knees, he's helped me in other ways. He's helped me become healthier and more active. I can't believe after this procedure, I was able to go hunting with my son, my grandson, and all of my friends. I cannot believe that I'm going up and downstairs, which I haven't done in years. It's been really fun to go out with friends again and enjoy myself and be able to even maybe dance. You know, with my wife. My wife and I have planned a vacation, and I can hardly wait to go on a vacation with her pain-free.
Call Novatio, 435-688-1152, or visit NovatioOrtho.com.
Hey, this is Steve with Garage Doors Only. Did you know that each year over 10,000 people are hurt or injured attempting to repair their own garage door? At Garage Doors Only, our team of professionals can safely repair or replace your garage door or motor. Our business is family-owned and operated, and we service all of Southern Utah and the Mesquite area. Don't be a statistic. Call the professionals at Garage Doors Only, 435-868-1200.
Red rocks, sunshine, good friends and family are some of the highlights of another great year in Southern Utah. Hi, this is Kim Christensen at State Bank of Southern Utah. We live in an incredible part of the country, but it's the people that make the difference. Take a minute in 2019 and thank those who have made your life better or helped you along the way. The future holds endless possibilities. Let's dare to dream and work together to make our part of the world even better. State Bank has over 230 dedicated employees ready to help finance your dreams and help you navigate all of your financial needs. Whether it's a mortgage loan, business loan, or even a simple car loan, we stand ready to help. Come join with State Bank and choose to keep your money in Southern Utah. This helps grow our local economy for you, your friends, and your neighbors. State Bank of Southern Utah has been financing Southern Utah's dreams since 1957.
State Bank of Southern Utah, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Hi, I'm Dave Mizrahi, owner of Best Mattress. Shop our Tempur-Pedic President's Day sale going on now and save up to $500 on select Tempur-Pedic adjustable sets. See for yourself why it's the most recommended bed in America. Our no-pressure sleep consultants will help you find the Tempur-Pedic that's right for you. Plus, 72 months no interest and up to $300 instant store credit and free delivery. Shop Best Mattress today, your Tempur-Pedic headquarters, home of the 120-day sleep easy guarantee.
For the last decade, Red River Health and Wellness has been changing people's lives here in Southern Utah, even achieving 4.8 out of 5 on Google. But don't take our word for it. Here's what they have to say about their actual experience. Andrew C. said,
I've been slowly feeling worse and worse. Then I started at Red River. Dr. Swindlehurst has helped me apply lifestyle changes that have given back my life. I have energy to do the things I love and motivation to push through the things I don't so I can do what I love.
This is Dr. Joshua Redd, chiropractic physician at Red River Health and Wellness. Our patients really say it best. Most of them come to us after they've run out of options and answers. I want you to know that you don't have to suffer anymore. We are so passionate about helping you, we offer a satisfaction guarantee. If you aren't satisfied within the first 30 days, we give you your money back. Let us help you remember what it's like to feel good again.
Call Red River Health and Wellness Chiropractic Physicians today. 855-55-RIVER.
Call Red River today.
Southern Utah is such an amazing place to live and visit. Our area is full of beautiful scenery, fun things to do, great food, and excellent local businesses. We want to help everyone discover the very best places in Southern Utah for entertainment, food, beverages, health and wellness, shopping, outdoor adventure, automotive, fitness, and more as voted by you, the community. Now is the time to nominate your favorite businesses to be the best in Southern Utah. Nominate right now at bestofsouthernutah.com.
Want to know what I like best about high school sports? I love watching my son run on the field. I love the fact that since he's been playing high school sports, he's making better decisions. And I love knowing that with the proper equipment, education, conditioning, and coaching, high school sports in Utah are safer than ever before. That's something I really love.
This message presented by the Utah High School Activities Association and the Utah Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Back here with Don Brown of Extortion 17, the book, father of one of those killed in this military accident sabotage that we're talking about today.
Let me caveat it this way. Mm-hmm. We don't know what happened on board that chopper. I think it's a possibility the chopper, there could have been a firefight on board the chopper, but I don't know that for sure. I'm suspicious of it, but this I do know. As a matter of fact, if you read the final military report from the 13th of September, General Colt and General Mattis go into this issue about, well, we find that the Army National Guard crew was properly trained, the aircraft selected was fine. So they basically are setting up an argument, a discussion, a debate as to whether or not you should have used Special Forces aviation or not. But I made the point, and I'll make it again here, that if the proper rules of engagement had been applied, if we had been able to blast that landing zone and clear that landing zone out with all the firepower we had, and we had tremendous firepower in the air that could have done it and wanted to do it, then my grandmother could have taken these SEALs in on a buggy, gotten them there safely.
Right. Anyone from the gunship that was circling above the Chinook testify to what they saw?
The answer to the question is, during the military's 5-week investigation, from the commenced August the 7th and finished the 13th of September 2011. Yes, the commander of the gunship and the navigator both testified and both pointed out. In fact, the commander of the gunship, and I cover this in the book, said he said basically he was asked a question about TTP, that's techniques, tactics, and procedure. And when he was asked that question, he basically ignored the question, and he basically said, I want to put it on the record now that we requested permission to fire and were denied. He basically says that. He says that. So he gets it onto the record. And then his navigator, who also testified, points out, you know, we wanted to fire, but we were told just to watch those guys moving toward the landing zone. Now, that's what's on the military record. That there was no question, however, asked by a single member of the Congress about why did we not allow pre-suppression firing that landing zone. There was no question asked why was the AC-130 denied permission to fire into that landing zone. And by the way, we intercepted intelligence May the 11th, 2011. This is now 10 days after bin Laden is killed. It is 9 days after the Taliban has publicly vowed revenge. We intercepted military intelligence from Taliban communication that the Taliban was moving 100 additional fighters into this Tangi Valley where the chopper was shot down. It's a small valley. They were moving them into that valley solely for the purpose of shooting down a United States military chopper in retaliation for the bin Laden raid. And yet still, and a matter of fact, we got that information, and there were three attacks against U.S. choppers in this valley leading up to the shootdown of Extortion 17, and never were the rules of engagement set so that we could clear out the landing zone. It's absolutely criminal, if you ask me. And our congressmen ought to be ashamed of themselves for not pressing the military publicly on this issue. See, without a black box, we don't know what happened definitely inside the chopper. We know strange things happened. We know that the chopper appeared to be lost in the sky. It requested a sparkle, which was an odd request. It wasn't part that means a burst of light, which was a very, very odd request, which was not part of the mission plan. But the book, I would describe it as doing two things. First, the book is an indictment against the rules of engagement, because there is absolutely no doubt, no question, nothing ambiguous at all about the fact that suicidal rules of engagement were applied in this case. First off, the fact that seven Afghanis boarded it at the last second was covered up. Okay, we know that. We know that there are strange and contradictory stories about the status of the black box. That's odd. We also know that we sent pathfinders in looking for a black box. We know the final military report claims that the first group on the ground was Army Rangers at 4:12 a.m., keeping in mind the chopper went down at 2:39 a.m. But digging into the evidence, we found that there were at least two other groups unidentified on the ground by 3:04 a.m. I was given access to a small number of autopsies, and we actually found bullets in the bodies of two of the three servicemen.
I was going to ask you about that. How can't they know whether those came from the guns of the people inside or the members inside, the Taliban members that or Afghan soldiers that came aboard, or the ground forces?
Well, there is certainly a way to determine that if you want to put it to the forensic test. But the problem is the military pathologist immediately threw away the bullets that were found in the bodies of two of our service members immediately, said that they were of no evidentiary value.
That's unheard of.
Yeah. Well, they were.
That's
they
ridiculous.
Were called,
I've seen
were,
enough NCIS to know that that's crazy.
Yeah, that's insane.
See, here's the thing to keep in mind. Number one, the official report appears to have been released because somebody wanted it out. And whoever did that, if you're listening, I commend you and thank you. Mm-hmm. But above and beyond that, the autopsies were not part of the military report. Now, it's hard for family members to look at this report. And I've talked to family members, and I know, and I can only imagine. But the autopsies, you had to request those above and beyond. And a few family members did and got them to me. And when I looked at the autopsies, what I saw at page 3 was a notation that, quote, cook-off rounds found at autopsy, but discarded as having no evidentiary value. Now, a cook-off round is this. Cook-off round is a bullet that goes off in heat, okay? Mm. Most people think if you were to take a box of bullets and put that box, say, into a fire, that the box would blow up and would be dangerous. But the fact of the matter is, that isn't true at all. Matter of fact, oftentimes bullets don't blow up in fires at all. And I cover two studies in my book, one from the United States military on the issue of cook-off rounds. Cook-off rounds are innocuous. You ladies may not be old enough to remember, but there was a commercial a number of years ago from Rice Krispies, and the theme was Snap, Crackle, Pop. Mm-hmm. You ladies remember that?
Sure.
Okay. So if a bullet does happen to go off in a fire, it's like Snap, Crackle, Pop. Mm-hmm. It's virtually impossible for that bullet to enter the body, because if it's not inside the barrel of a gun, if it goes off, it has no steel, no pressure in which to force it out with great velocity. So if you were to take a bullet and heat it up and it did pop, snap, crackle, pop, what would happen is, if you're familiar with a bullet, there's the bullet itself, the left part of the end, and then there's a casing. The casing actually would go farther than the bullet itself, and it's almost impossible to enter the body. The only way a bullet can generally enter the body, if it is a cook-off round, will be, let's say, Kate, I was out there with you, and you were to point a loaded gun at me, the gun is loaded, and mm-hmm. then Mary takes a blowtorch and goes under the bottom of that gun and heats it up to the point that it actually then fires, you know, then it might enter my body, maybe. But the thing here is that the Pathfinders stated that the weapons were actually found scattered outside of on the ground. They were barely even burned. So I don't know why those cook-off rounds, I don't know why those bullets were found in the bodies. But it raises the question that they were called cook-off rounds and immediately thrown away and no questions were asked. I mean, so you have a number of suspicious happenings mm-hmm. that make me wonder, and I'm very suspicious that something could have happened on board a chopper. But again, circling back, there's no doubt that my book is an indictment on the rules of engagement, and the rules of engagement were suicidal. If nothing happened on the chopper, there's absolutely no question that that the rules of engagement caused these men to get killed. And it's on our military leadership.
Wow. And there's so much more in the book. You've got to get the book. But have you been threatened? What was the outcome of you writing this book? Have you received any heat for it? Have the families received any heat for speaking up? And what was your final synopsis of this? What do you think happened?
I believe the chopper had a black box. Mm-hmm. I believe something probably happened on board the chopper. I don't know if there was communication between, these guys that jumped on the chopper at the last second and Taliban on the ground. I don't know. I do believe absolutely the Taliban knew where the landing zone was. In fact, one thing that I had discovered is that both British press and the French press, both, and the UK Telegraph and Daily Mail, for example, both reported that they had inside information from the Afghan government that the Taliban was tipped on the flight pattern of this chopper and knew where it was going. And did you know, ladies, that the military did not ask one single question of any Afghan at all, nor was any question asked about the possibility the Taliban was tipped, like the British and French press reported, just ignored it, and so did the U.S. Congress. I believe the Taliban was tipped. There was a point-blank shot fired, apparently, from the ground, and it was point-blank, and the Taliban, I mean, the odds of flying into a landing zone full of Taliban, at any rate, is not likely anyway. So I'm absolutely convinced the Taliban knew, and that we know they knew, and that was covered up for political and other purposes in 2011.
So there wasn't any interviews for the group in Afghanistan who oversees the U.S. operations called the Operational Coordination Group. There were no interviews there either?
The thing that you have to understand is that when you look at the official military report, that no specific names are given in mm-hmm. the report except for General Colt himself and General Mattis, the CENTCOM was General Mattis, the four-star Marine Corps general who at that time was overseeing combat operations, and the one-star General Jeffrey Colt, who was the actual investigating officer. But there were, so if you look at who was interviewed, we have the titles of officers interviewed. So there were interviews of the Joint Special Operations Task Force commander. This is a joint special operations, mission. Mm-hmm. And the J-3, there was also a combat assessment air team, a joint combat assessment air team that went in and picked up the wreckage after it was secured, brought it back to Bagram Air Base, and photographed it. And a lot of those folks did testify. The folks, the military officers testifying, in my opinion, seemed to be truthful and wanted to get all the information out they could. It's just that there was a decision made, and I'll tell you, one of the things that, and I go over this in the book, General Mattis, the four-star general who ordered General Colt to go investigate, basically said, go investigate, figure out what was wrong, but if there's an Article 31 violation, don't ask questions and come back and tell me. Let me tell you what Article 31 means. Article 31 is the military's version of the Fifth Amendment. In other words, Article 31 of the UCMJ, Uniform Code of Military Justice, basically says you can't, if any military member is suspected of any type of wrongdoing, you can't ask questions. They have a right to remain silent. So General Colt's hands were strapped by General Mattis from the very beginning. Now, here's where this comes into play. There was an officer who was responsible for maintaining the integrity of the flight manifest. That the manifest is the roster of who's on board an aircraft. And every aircraft in the United States is required to have a manifest. In the military, the manifest requirements are even stricter. You not only you got to give the name, rank, and serial number, but you also have to keep track of what weapons are on board. Mm-hmm. Then there was a compromise with the manifest. And so General Colt really came to ask questions because General Mattis said, if you suspect anyone of violating Article 31, don't ask questions unless you come talk to me first. You see, in the military, we have regular criminal crimes that you would think of in civilian life, like, burglary or mm-hmm. murder or rape. We also have military crimes. You've heard of desertion is a big one. Sure. Well, there's one called dereliction of duty.
Yeah.
And dereliction of duty is basically a criminalized version of negligence. You can be prosecuted in the military for negligence. Nobody asked how that manifest was compromised, I think, because nobody wanted the public to know what happened.
Wow.
An issue concerning cremation of bodies. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, understand that when these Americans were killed, they were first brought to Bagram Air Base, and there was a ramp ceremony in which an Islamic imam basically cursed them in Arabic. That didn't come out until a year and a half later. But then they were flown to Dover Air Base. 30 Americans and 8 Afghans. Now, I don't want to confuse 7 versus 8. There were 7 unidentified Afghans who boarded the chopper who were supposed to be Afghan commandos. The 8th Afghan was an interpreter. So you hear 8 and 7 both be bannered around, but it was 7 unidentified that we know were unidentified based upon sworn testimony and report. But they bring the bodies back, and some families are told that their sons have been cremated. For example, Charles Strange out of Philadelphia was told that his son, Michael Strange, was cremated.
For no reason.
And on the date of the return, Colonel David Lapin, a Pentagon spokesperson, comes out and announces that, quote, due to the nature of the accident, there were no identifiable remains. That's August the 9th, 2011, claiming no identifiable remains. Now, bear in mind, that little disc had not been released yet.
Whoa.
So when I went through the disc, 2 years after that claim was made, there was sworn testimony that there were bodies laying on the ground, at least 8, that were barely even burned and clearly identifiable.
Wow. We have got to go. And I love that. Don, people need to get the book, Extortion 17. Have you received any heat for this?
Yes, a lot of heat. But let's keep flying forward. Please buy the book. Please read it. Please continue to spread the word.
Don Brown, thank you so much for joining us. Extortion 17, what a read.
I'm Sandy Juarez, a patient of Dr. Michael Manning at Navatio. After 25 years of working in the OR, I am shocked that I actually fell. And the first thing that came to my mind, and when I realized that my hip was broken, was my life is over. When you work in the operating room, you are aware of surgeons and how good they are. I want a skilled surgeon, not just a smart surgeon. And that's Dr. Manning. He's got bedside manner oozing out. And I love that about him. He makes you feel like you are the only patient he has.
Within 12 hours after surgery, I was up and walking the halls. I was elated and shocked. It has given me back my life that I thought was over. If you have something that is giving you problems, I suggest and recommend highly that you call Dr. Michael Manning at Novatio.
Call Novatio, 435-688-1152, or visit NovatioOrtho.
93.1 FM, 1450 AM, KZNU St. George, 93.1 FM, Cedar City, KAZZ Parowan, KCLS, HD4, Leeds.